Hey, it's Endymion, and today we need to talk about a new game that is making a sweep through the industry in blazing fashion in the form of Marvel Rivals, which in my opinion should become the industry standard for how these sorts of IPs are given life in video game form. Of course, people are coping and attacking it for also not being woke. Beyond this, the Ubisoft situation gets more interesting, as buyouts and liquidation talks get thrown around, so I want to explore that as well. Let's get into it. Firstly, Marvel Rivals is here. I finally got around to playing it myself, and yeah, I think it's a pretty great game. Is it just Overwatch with Marvel heroes? Absolutely, but it feels more fluent to play, and I really enjoy the quality of these characters and how everything works. For me so far, I've mostly been playing as Mantis because there's no role lock in Rivals as of right now anyways. And a lot of people clearly just enjoy Zerg rushing the enemy team and attacking them. So I've pretty much taken it upon myself to babysit everybody and keep them healthy by healing their wounds because people are morons. But Mantis is dope though. I always end up playing characters in these online games that aren't who I think I'll play at first. I also found Venom to be really dope to play as well. I love his style of tanking, and for DPS so far, my go-to is the Punisher, who is basically just Soldier 76 meets Bastion from Overwatch. But cooler, because, well, he's the Punisher, dude. Come on, look at him. Of course, Marvel Rivals doing well is not good for the industry because it's copying elements from other games, and this is not original, apparently. This brings me to former Blizzard head Mike Ybarra, who complained on Twitter stating that Marvel Rivals is not original and should not be celebrated. He said, "Looks like Overwatch Marvel Rivals ships tomorrow, much like Light of Motrium, a clear copy of Horizon Zero Dawn out of China. I mean, even the character name Widowmaker in Overwatch versus Black Widow in Marvel Rivals, NetEase, Tencent, all the same." Yeah, this didn't go over very well for Mike Ybarra at all. You can feel the seething through the screen too. Plus, his claim that Black Widow is copying Widowmaker is stupid. The community note humbled him, which stated, "Natasha Romanoff, aka Black Widow, is a popular Marvel hero who made her comic debut in 1964. More than 50 years before Overwatch and Widowmaker were created, the poster is spreading misinformation." And I mean, the community note, like usual, is absolutely right. Widowmaker did not come before Black Widow. Although, yes, if you look at how these characters play and how they operate within both games, I do agree that they are similar. They're both snipers, but I mean, again, Black Widow existed before and was always a military spec ops badass assassin sniper lady anyway. So what role did you want her to be in? A healer? Black Widow being a sniper just makes logical sense. The same way that Captain America with his shield being a tank is just logical too. Of course Mike Ybarra is mad. I mean, he's someone who panders to wokeness aplenty already. We need to remember this former Blizzard executive who is trying to make people not play Rivals because it goes against what his team made is what it's always been. Corporate jealousy. This Mike Ybarra guy was instrumental to the rebranding and release of Overwatch 2, by the way. A game that promised a full single-player experience and then completely killed the original game in order to force players over to the brand new Overwatch 2 game client. And it quickly turned out that all the changes that Blizzard brought to Overwatch 2 were terrible. Reduced player party counts. Characters had to be bought with either real money or grinded until unlocked via battle passes to play at first. Which, yes, makes zero sense because the game is a hero shooter. And if certain heroes were considered the meta, it's obviously then just pay to win if you can just spend money to quickly unlock the brand new hero over the people who can't afford it. Of course, Overwatch 2 would eventually announce a single player mode was cancelled, not because it wasn't good, but simply because Blizzard couldn't monetize it the same way they could the multiplayer. So instead of giving players what they promised, Blizzard decided to gut the whole operation and chop up their single player experiences, which, by the way, had entire levels, cinematics, and even skill trees for each hero simply because they couldn't make you pay extra for it. I wish I was kidding, dude. Which then just made Overwatch 2 pointless to exist. I mean, what's the point if the one big selling factor in your single player efforts was cancelled because you were all too greedy? Also, they re-added 6v6 player matches again later on as a new feature after enough community backlash caused Blizzard to pivot their decision. And they also made it so that all new heroes could be playable from the first round right away, which they didn't do at first, and again, they're just adding things that were already there to begin with and then calling it a new feature. It's so dumb. And by doing all of this, it just doesn't justify Overwatch 2's existence. I mean, looking at Overwatch 2's numbers on Steam alone, the game never even reached Dragon Age Veilguard concurrent player counts, even to this day. And when compared up against Marvel Rivals, it's just staggering. As Fandom Pulse put it, Rivals has a 487.6% increase of players, compared to Overwatch 2 during its release. So yeah, no wonder that Mike Ybarra is mad and wants he did not play the game. He's mad because Rivals is absolutely destroying Overwatch 2. And of course, his comments there in his post where he says, NetEase, Tencent, all the same, it's kind of ridiculous too. They're both Chinese companies, yes, but that doesn't mean that they're the same company because they're not. That's like me saying that BioWare and Clay Entertainment are the same company simply because they're both situated primarily in Canada. Yet BioWare, which made stuff like Dragon Age Veilguard, has nothing in common with Clay Entertainment, which made games like Mark of the Ninja, which is awesome by the way, highly recommended, and stuff like Don't Starve. Just because they're both Canadian game studios doesn't mean that they have anything in common besides where they are. Mike Ybarra kind of went a bit off mask there and pretty much said Chinese game studios are all the same. It's all Chinese people, what's the difference? Actually, there is a difference, Mike. But, you know, if you want to be jealous and a tad bit racist, I guess that's your choice to do so as well. The point here is that Mike Ybarra is clearly coping and really doesn't want people to play Marvel Rivals because it's clearly doing what they're doing just way better in pretty much every single way. And yeah, of course, it's based on Marvel characters, which obviously has that brand recognition attached to them for obvious reasons. My biggest takeaway from Rivals, from what I've played beyond the smooth gameplay and as you've been seeing on screen, beautiful visuals, is that the game is putting the most important things forward as a priority, which is game performance and being fun as hell to play. The game runs smooth as butter. You get placed into games in like 10 to 15 seconds, everything loads quickly, and games just start super fast. And the best part is there's not any stupid slop like Concord that tried to do where they had your whole character pronouns in the select screen or anything dumb like that. Like you take one look at Mantis and go, yeah, that's a woman, but how do you know? I mean, she's an alien. Well, she's a woman in terms of her body shape and all of that. I don't need you to tell me this is somehow a man because it's not. The same way if you unironically put he, him beside the Punisher's massive frame, I would facepalm. Like, thanks, Tips, I couldn't tell that the Punisher was a man. I think the fact that he looks like a guy was a pretty good indicator of what he is and what he has going on between his legs. The whole pronoun thing and gender stuff has always irked me because it's just stupid. If you need to go out of your way to tell me what your character's genders or pronouns are, you failed already. Think about it, especially from the perspective of a hero shooter, you should be able to immediately tell who is who based solely on their silhouette or how they look within seconds. You take one look at Venom and you can go, yeah, that guy's definitely Venom. I don't need you to say, well, actually, Venom uses they, them pronouns. Because they're referring to the symbiote and the person within the symbiote at the same time. Just shut up, you nerds. Venom is a he, because Eddie Brock is the guy that the symbiote is attached to. I'm not going to call Venom a they, them, or non-binary because he says we are Venom. Get that Seattle, San Francisco gobbledygook talk out of my face. Sick of these people and their nonsense. Too many of these game devs these days are prioritizing things that don't matter at all. Just make your game fun to play and have it run well and then leave all the stupid stuff at the door. Grums even made an easy-to-read graph here which shows exactly how things are going in 2024. So red means woke game, blue means non-woke game, and these numbers are the Steam chart's highest concurrent player counts for each game released in 2024. As you can see, the woke games have just shy of over 100,000 players combined across 7 different titles here. This means that Space Marine 2 alone has pretty much about doubled the player counts just by itself when compared to every single wokey woke game combined here on Steam. If we then use Pal World or Wukong, it just becomes a bloodbath, and I mean it's not even remotely close in terms of player counts or sales. Mike Ybarra over there with Blizzard would situate Overwatch 2 with those woke games because whether he wants to admit it or not, Overwatch is a pretty pandering franchise in case you didn't know. I'll never get over the fact that Blizzard actually made a diversity tool where they type in prompts to get the highest woke character points, and that this same system is real and that they use it to make their characters even to today. You think it's just a coincidence that every character pretty much in Overwatch is some gender identity nonsense that never existed until a few years ago all of a sudden? Now they're all non-binary or whatever the hell else they are, what does any of this have to do with the gameplay? Nothing at all. But Mike Ybarra's team, when he spearheaded Blizzard, really wanted to ensure that everyone checked off some sort of list. Cause what better way to circumvent criticism of any kind if you don't need to fix anything but instead just throw agenda in front of your problems and go, sure, our game deleted our single player, but did you know that Venture is non-binary? Marvel Rivals is basically the answer to the question of what if Overwatch was a video game that focused on fun over identity politics? And then they just kind of did that and rolled with it. I mean, the creative director for Marvel Rivals is this guy named Guang Guang. A last name so good his parents looked through the whole book of names and went, nah, we're naming our son the same thing twice. I mean, you gotta respect it, dude. I knew a guy growing up called Chen Chen, like what a crazy name, man. But you gotta respect these things. So Guang Guang over here is the creative director, and honestly, this is the kind of guy I trust in making video games. Because this guy looks like he knows what he's talking about, the kind of guy who likely smiles awkwardly in family photos. But if you give him a computer and a goal and some beer, the dude can probably build you anything. And I respect that Marvel Rivals didn't put some attractive, out-of-touch e-girl to promote this stuff either. They just put the creative director and went, here's what's coming, okay? Cool, have fun. I like that a lot, personally. But circling back to Mike Ybarra, who is salty about Rivals doing so well, the guy isn't without controversy himself. He has been known for his own controversies too. As GameDeveloper.com put it, it began with the quick exit of executive Jen O'Neill, who was supposed to join Ybarra as co-president of Blizzard. O'Neill alleged to employees that she had been offered lower pay than Ybarra, a development that came right as the studio was denying that it was systematically paying women lower salaries than their male counterparts. To his credit, Ybarra had reportedly encouraged company leadership to bring their pay packages in alignment. But Ybarra, once again, became the face of controversy at Blizzard when he led a Q&A with employees, where he introduced a hardline and unpopular return-to-office policy and informed workers they would only receive 58% of their profit-sharing bonus after an especially strong fourth quarter. Addressing the latter news, Ybarra explained to employees that he and other company leaders were also impacted by the reduced bonuses. If you think that executives are making a lot of money and you aren't, you're living in a myth, he said at the time. Seemingly unaware that the sentence sounded like he was downplaying the pay discrepancies between Ybarra and rank-and-file developers. That discrepancy may, unfortunately, once again be on display with Ybarra's exit. As a leading executive, Ybarra is likely to receive a sizable golden parachute that his colleagues down the line will not. So this guy isn't exactly someone I would feel sorry for, and he's clearly just very angry that Rivals is eating away at his former company's market share of the pie, but the reality is that current Blizzard and the state of Overwatch is not to be blamed on Rivals' success, but it solely sits on the shoulders of Blizzard themselves. They were the ones who ruined their own games. They decided to pander to woke identity politics and push for all the other gender nonsense in their games. All of this, plus the loss of trust in removing the promised single-player mode and removing key features, only to re-implement them and then sell it as an update, just led to a lot of people leaving Overwatch behind, myself included. I think what 2024 has done, if anything, I hope at least, is teach these studios that we as players have far more power than they think we do. They do not dictate whether things do well or not. The players do. We don't need to play your games and we can pull support whenever we want to. If Gamergate has taught us anything, it's that the market shifts and answers solely to the almighty god of this industry, which is its players. And the more these types shift away from what people want or attack games like Rivals, the worse it's gonna get for them. I mean, you know things are stupid when comments like this on Reddit gets attention. This one user said, not a fan of these character designs to be honest, especially characters like Luna Snow, who are very male-gazy and serious lack of diversity, but the game looks like it could be fun. Thoughts? This thread went about as well as you'd think, but it proves the point regardless. Saying something is male-gazy is just stupid. Just say it for what it is. You're a woke communist who hates the sight of attractive, healthy women because your brain has been broken by leftist propaganda. And the lack of diversity makes no sense either. Luna Snow is Asian, Spider-Man is white, Black Panther is a black guy. Scarlet Witch is Romani, I think, and Namor is clearly based off of his Aztec-inspired version in the MCU. And Venom is an alien, and of course there's Jeff, who's a shark. There's more diversity here than most games have. But the difference here is that good diversity will happen no matter what when it's not made the priority. Just give us cool characters and focus on making them badass and then that'll become the selling point. This whole you can't like this thing because it's too much like this thing argument is dumb no matter how you put it. Did I mention that Mike Ybarra deleted that comment by the way, and he was also followed up by saying, worded poorly, had to delete massive DMs of Blizzard sucks, which should be expected I guess. It's clear what they are doing, it's not the first time. Once the NetEase deal went south, everything was a free-for-all and it all went into hyperdrive. Here's the thing, Mike. Nobody owns gameplay mechanics. Well, unless you're Warner Bros. Who actually trademarked the Nemesis system. That's real, by the way, look it up. But you don't own genres like hero shooters. You don't own mechanics like healing or shooting enemies. Games have been heavily inspired or rip off others for a really long time now. It's just how the industry is. Especially in the AAA space, of course. We all know what trends are, and Overwatch and how it worked was a trend that became trendy, and then people copied it aplenty. And let's be serious, Blizzard copied concepts like battle passes and loot boxes as well from other games too. Like, you can't be serious here. Of course, most hero shooters didn't work, like Concord or Battleborn, but it doesn't mean that other hero shooters can't exist now. Plus, Rivals is not even a first-person game, it's third-person. Sure, some attacks may make you go first-person, like Punisher using his turret, but largely speaking, the facts remain. All of this just sounds like one guy that's mad that another guy made a better burger than he did using similar ingredients. Overwatch and Blizzard used to be the kings and queens of the gaming world. Hell, they won Game of the Year when Overwatch first came out. But it's obviously through corporate greed, crunching devs, and bending the knee to woke identity politics, which all happened under Mike's watch, that Overwatch as a franchise just crumbled over time. You can't be angry that by your own volition you left a massive gaping hole for the competition to fill due to your lack of incompetence. And then get salty because other companies saw that opportunity and then capitalized on it. I mean, it's Marvel for God's sakes. What's next? You're going to attack Disney for this? All these companies just want to make money. To be real with you, I'm surprised that Disney allowed Marvel Rivals to exist how it is. Especially since Disney's editorial board is notoriously anal when it comes to how their IPs get used. However, I should state that Disney is changing a lot of things. Marvel has become over time more into what people want slowly but surely. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine in Rivals proves this. Star Wars, unfortunately, is more of its own island amidst the Disney IPs that refuses to change. But Rivals proves that if you just make a game fun that runs well that isn't pushing all of the nonsense, you get the success as well. And because it's NetEase, which is Chinese, they are vehemently against wokeness. Actually, let me tell you a story while I'm at it. So I did a video a bit back about Star Wars Eclipse. Those sources that I spoke to about that video told me about NetEase, the people who made Rivals. They also own Quantic Dream that's making Star Wars Eclipse too. Anyways, NetEase, as I was told from these sources, is very vocal in meetings with publishers and potential partners that they see the Western viewpoint on gender and such to be horrible. The exact phrase I was told is that NetEase finds the Western agenda to be full of degenerates and they do not agree with anything going on in the West right now in terms of anything to do with said wokeness. So it's really no surprise that Rivals, which was made by NetEase, is what it is. Because China has laws against depicting men as effeminate or women as manly. The government there forbids it and women must be women no matter what. Is the deconstruction of Western society due to the ideological rotting of wokeness a boon to Chinese powers within entertainment and more? Absolutely it is. But the fact of the matter is that if the West wanted to return to its more prominent and far more powerful version of itself, they too would need to reject the very concepts that they've been pushing for so long onto others. But because these politics and ideologies are so baked into the DNA of so many things these days, what is going to happen is Eastern developers and studios and companies will consume the majority of the gaming pie. And people like Mike Ybarra, of course, knows this and is really mad about it, but ultimately it's due to his own decisions as CEO of Blizzard and others that the West is in such a weak spot when it comes to these things anyways. He helped foster the downfall himself and is now salty that said downfall is undoing his work. If you wanted Overwatch to stay king, you wouldn't have done what you did to it, but you did. Therefore, you can't be angry that Rivals exists. And you can't stand there with your golden parachute that siphoned money from a company that needed to be bought out by Microsoft to save whatever remained of it, and act like you're somehow holier than thou now. You deleting those comments, even though the internet, like always, keeps everything, proves this. Don't get mad about Rivals, be mad at yourselves for being idiots. This then brings me to Ubisoft, which is pretty much a natural evolution of what I've been talking about in this video already. So spoilers, Ubisoft is dying. I reported on this, I spoke to way too many people who worked there already, and confirmed that it's a sinking ship that's going to die in some way come 2025. This comes from tweaktown.com from editor Derek Strickland. Ubisoft headed towards privatization and dismantling in 2025. So like I said, because of the wokeness of the West, these Western companies are weaker than ever before. Ubisoft is one of these Western woke companies. Then there's Tencent, another Chinese giant company that already owns 49.99% of the shares of Ubisoft as of the making of this video. Ubisoft wants to go private and get its shares under control before someone else fully controls Ubisoft, like Tencent for example. Industry analyst Juice Van Druin, which I definitely just mispronounced, had this to say about Ubisoft. Ubisoft is headed for privatization and dismantling in 2025, with its share price plummeting from $28.19 to $12.30 year over year. The company has become an attractive takeover target. Its valuable assets, particularly Rainbow Six Siege and the Assassin's Creed franchise, could be worth more separately than together. The upcoming Assassin's Creed Shadows faces stiff competition from PlayStation's Ghost of Yote, and recent failures suggest deeper organizational issues beyond individual game performance. Ubisoft's development approach remains stubbornly outdated in an era demanding player engagement and community building. Without a fundamental shift in how they develop and maintain games, they risk further alienating both investors and players. The X-Defiant shutdown isn't just another failed launch, it's a symptom of a company that insists on catering to a passive audience while failing to recognize the urgency to rethink distribution. And I think that last part is a good place to end this all on, that companies like Ubisoft and even current-day Blizzard are these companies that insist on catering to a passive audience while failing to recognize the urgency of the situations they're in. What this simply means is what NetEase is doing with Rivals is a company seeing a big hole in the market and then immediately plugging it themselves to make as much money as possible by giving people what they really want. Blizzard and Ubisoft are tired examples of companies who simply believe that, you know, they would just exist and be fine because they've always been here. They don't feel the need to strengthen IP or push like other companies do because why bother? We'll still be here, right? In Blizzard's case, they got bought by Microsoft because they were failing and then got cheaper. In Ubisoft's case, well, they're just being led by morons at this point. Ubisoft, of course, is hellbent on ensuring that they will control their company even when the chips are down and they're running out of resources. PC Gamer's article here is titled, Ubisoft Buyout Talks Are Reportedly Progressing. But there's one small hitch. The Guillemot family wants to stay in charge, but Tencent isn't so sure about that. It's cute that Yves Guillemot still thinks he'll be able to control Ubisoft given how poorly he's run the entire company into the ground. Quick lore for you, Ubisoft was founded by Yves' family decades ago. They've controlled the vast majority of Ubisoft as a company for well over 30 years at this point. But due to their mismanagement and their inability to innovate their games instead just making the same slop over and over, I mean, Outlaws barely broke a million in sales and it's been out for months at this point, it's just not a good sign. I truly do think we're seeing a moment in the history of gaming where old giants are going to start to quickly crumble into dust to just make way for new powers to emerge. Ubisoft had the writing on the wall for a while now. Remember that they lost 90% of their value in just over a year already. There's no way that this ends with Yves and his family owning Ubisoft. Tencent simply will not allow it. It is at least vindicating to see that the things I was told a few months back about Ubisoft, which I reported on, and then the usual people called me a liar, saying Ubisoft isn't going to get sold off, you're lying and your sources are fake. And now look where we are. I even said back then that Yves and his family wants to retain control of Ubisoft even if it gets bought out. But of course, I'm just lying, and then what I say comes true yet again. What I also heard from people at Ubisoft is Yves' final grasp at control is something I just personally don't see happening. Which is that Yves will sell the company and all its IP to Tencent or whoever else is interested, but Yves wants to keep a hold of Assassin's Creed exclusively going forward. Which just won't happen, I wager. It's the crown jewel in Ubisoft's crown, we can all agree on that. Tencent or whoever will definitely buy Assassin's Creed or just take it through force via legal means. I think the end result here will be Ubisoft goes private, Yves will get lied to and gaslighted, until eventually he just loses complete and utter control and then Tencent buys it all and then they kick him and his family out entirely. Again, people would get mad, now China owns even more IP, yeah, they do. And it's the fault of the West for falling for the tricks, they could have been behemoths but they listened to activists instead. And this will continue to happen, mark my words, Western devs, studios, and their CEOs, they need to realize before it's too late. You either need to shut up and get based right now, or you're going to lose everything and then China will own you. But instead we got these former CEOs out here saying you shouldn't play the Chinese Overwatch because it'll strengthen Chinese dominance. Well, maybe you idiots should have strengthened your own defenses and powers instead of just being morons the entire time. That would have worked better in your favor. Basically, you can demand that people not play Rivals and then claim that it's a Chinese knockoff of your hero shooter game like Mike Yabara does, or you can sit passively like Ubisoft's higher-ups only to panic when the money stops coming in. Either way, these situations are self-inflicted by people who lead their companies into oblivion out of sheer hubris of their own making. And then getting mad that you're getting bodied is only going to cause you to get bodied even more in the future. It's like someone getting knocked out, getting up 5 minutes later only to call the guy who knocked him out weak or something. Like, are you just asking to get slapped and clowned on at this point? All in all, Marvel Rivals dominance, it won't end anytime soon. The base game is objectively very well made, and if I was Blizzard, I wouldn't just be mad. I would be seething, knowing that they allowed this all to happen and can really only blame themselves. For Ubisoft, I expect them to not exist anytime soon, and for other companies to own them. And I fully do expect that Tencent will buy them, and then you'll be seeing very well-made Assassin's Creed games in the future, with pretty much no woke ideology to speak of. But like always, it's the sheer hubris of Western idiots that allowed this all to happen in the first place. So what do you think about all of this? Let me know in the comments. Thank you for watching. Subscribe. Thanks to my supporters. Have a great day, and I'll see you soon.